me just tell you a little about what we're going to do today. Today's a little different. The flow and the organization of the service, of the gathering today is a little different. I'm going to be not so much giving a sermon as that we are going to be really kind of doing a few things together as a church family. Because last week, if you were here, we talked about some things that we want to take with us as we move. And not physical things, but some things God's done in us that we hope to take with us. We kind of started with this idea that the natural tendency, the natural drift of every church is which direction, did we say last week? Inward, towards ourselves. That's just human nature, and it's the tendency of every church because it's the tendency of every person to drift and think about ourselves first and foremost. And so to kind of combat that, we talked about some things that personally I hope we take with us as we leave, and some ideas like the fact that real church happens when? Between Sundays. We gather here as the church, and it's a very important when we gather as the church, but the church being the church happens from the time we leave here till the time we come back next week. Talked about that last week. We also talked about the idea in Scripture that what God will enable us to do, whatever He calls us to do. And so when God challenges us, when God pushes us forward, when He lays an opportunity before us, we don't really have anything to fear because God's reputation is what's on the line. God's going to enable you to do anything He asks of you because the purpose of all of it is the glory of God. The purpose of our lives, the purpose of this church, the purpose of everything we do is the glory of God. So we talked about that last week, but today what I want to do in our last gathering in this building is I want us to do three things this morning. I want us to kind of leave here being renewed. I want us to remember. I also want us to recommit ourselves to some things that God has called of us. So we're going to kind of do this in three parts today. And to start with, I want to talk about this idea of renewal, because one of the most basic reasons we gather together as the people of God is to be renewed by God. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how we may stir up one another towards love and good deeds. Another translation says, spur one another on. So we're stirring up, we're spurring each other on and stirring up inside of us love and good deeds. So when we gather, that's part of why we're here. We gather together for the reason of being renewed. I mean, now, do you ever walk in these doors and just need God to renew you? That ever happen? I mean, God, it has been a week. It has been a month. It's been a year. In fact, it's just been a life. Maybe that's it for you, like my whole life or whatever. I just, sometimes you might walk in this room and you've had one of those weeks or days or months or whatever it might be that there's just something you need God to do in you to renew you. Maybe it's to renew your joy. Man, there's been some things in my life that have absolutely stolen my joy, and I've been the only one that could renew that joy was God. I've needed, at times, maybe you need Him to renew some peace, peace in your heart, peace in your life, peace in your home, or in your family, or you need God to renew your faith, because there's sometimes we walk through things and our faith in God, our belief that God's going to handle it, it just is shaken sometimes. It is, that's human nature. Maybe you're here this morning, need God to renew your faith. But the bottom line is, one of the most basic reasons we gather together is for God, through His Holy Spirit, and through the people of His church, to renew us. In fact, look at a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 is one of them. We do not lose heart. This is the Apostle Paul. We don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Depending on your age, you ever notice how you get older and that outer self just begins to waste away? I got up yesterday, we were over at the new building doing a little bit of work, and I was on the floor doing something. I got up and I was groaning and moaning the whole way up because there's muscles in my back right now that are sore that I didn't even know I had, apparently. And then somebody standing next to me that's a few years older than me, starts giving me the lowdown. Oh, quit your whining. Wait till you're my age. And then somebody older than them. Oh, yeah, well, wait till you're my age. I mean, right? Our outer selves, we all know this. Our outer selves are wasting away. And honestly, at times, there's people that get really depressed about that. But just, this might not encourage you so much as, I'm going to say it anyway. In case you've forgotten, you're going to die, okay? Every one of us in this, I mean, we're all headed there, right? Yes, you knew that. Okay, you knew that. All right. Aren't you? You're glad you came. You're so encouraged now, right? How's that supposed to renew me? It's supposed to renew you for this reason. Even though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our inner selves will never die. And for those who have hope in Jesus Christ, I mean, that is a reason to just sit back, take a deep breath and go, oh yeah, man, life is hard, but my inner self is being renewed day by day. And sometimes when we gather in this room, it's about God renewing that understanding. Sometimes it's renewing your hope, renewing your joy, or just renewing this understanding that never, ever are you going to be outside of the scope and reach of God. And as a Christian, God is renewing all things to spend eternity with him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Now, in context, what this whole part of Colossians is talking about is just the understanding of who God is. And the more you understand and know who God is, the more you are renewed in the image of your creator. Because there's a lot of images of God. There's a lot of ideas about who God is or what God is or what we're supposed to be that are floating around out there. And what Paul's combating in this letter in Colossians is kind of some kind of philosophy and some new age ideology and just some different ideas that have kind of crept into the church about what the purpose and point of life is. And he's just kind of going right after that and say, look, here's the deal. Put on the new self. And your new self in Jesus, it's about renewing you. When you know and understand who God is, you will be renewed in the image of your creator. And so this morning, part of what our goal is to be renewed. Not renewed because we have, because we're great, not renewed because of this church, not renewed because we're leaving this building, going to a new building, renewed because of the Spirit of God within us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the centerpiece of what Jesus is doing in you. He's making all things new. And so for a minute this morning, I just thought, man, how about we just pause and say, God, renew me. And for you, maybe it's you need to renew your faith. Or for someone else, renew my joy, or renew my family, renew my marriage, renew my patience, renew my focus, renew my obsessions, renew my desires. Just renew me. And so I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to bow your heads. Maybe just close your eyes for a minute. And I'm just going to leave you alone for a minute to spend a moment with God and invite him to renew you. Because he's making all things new. He is your hope. You're wasting away on the outside, but you're being renewed forever on the inside. Father, thank you that we can come into this room this morning without a lot of fanfare, without a lot of anything else, and we can just pause and be reminded of the very simple truth that what truly renews us is you. I mean, each night we lay our heads down and we get rest, and you've designed us to need rest. And we take days off, which are important, to get rest. And maybe we even go on a vacation to get away for a few days to get rest. And while those things are good and while those things are important, the only thing that can truly renew us, not just to give us temporary reprieve, but to renew us, is you. So God, my prayer this morning is that our imaginations, our desires, our hearts would be captivated by the transformational, renewing power that is found in Jesus Christ. That you would be our joy, you would be our hope, you would be our rest, you would be our faith. So Lord, capture our hearts this morning. Renew them. It's in your Son's gospel that we place our hope. And in his name we pray. Amen. You know, through the Bible, there were always times of refreshing that they prayed for and sought after. But one of the most other central themes of the Bible is from beginning to end is that God calls us to remember. When you read through the exodus of the nation of Israel out of Egypt, God instituted feasts and festivals and holy days. And the purpose of those days were not that their relationship with God would be defined by this ritual or holy day, but these were instituted for them to remember. Jesus instituted things like baptism and the Lord's Supper, things that were both marks of identification in Christ, but also things that would cause us to remember. And so I want us to spend a little bit of time remembering this morning some things that God has done in us. I was figuring it up this week. Do you realize in the 10 plus years we've been in this building, we have sung more than 3,000 different songs of worship to God? More than 3,000 times we've lifted up our voices, supported by large instrumentation, and some very simple like the one we just had, of declaring who God is, of thanking Him for who He is, of encouraging each other that this is who God is. We've listened to over 500 sermons and messages and teachings from the Bible of who God is. Some of them that moved us greatly. Some of them that probably weren't my best, right? But over 500 times we've gathered and opened the Word. And you know what the amazing thing to me, one of the greatest encouragements I have as a teacher of the Word, is that really God moving through His words, not about how great I am, it's about the power of the words of this book, because they're living and active, and the Spirit of God is working every time we open this up and learn about it together. Tens of thousands of man hours have been given serving both inside and outside the walls of this church for the purpose of advancing the gospel of Christ. We literally have given corporately together over these last 10 years millions of dollars that have been poured out and given away and invested into the kingdom of God. Countless baptisms that we've had and witnessed and celebrated at the lake in Claremont or right over here. Like the moment I've baptized our children, or others of you have identified with Christ through that very important sacrament. We've celebrated funerals together of friends. I say celebrated because celebrating the life that they still have in Jesus Christ. Weddings of family, dedication of our children, countless transformational moments where God met us here for one reason or another in one way or another. I mean, just think about the ways that we've grown over the 10 years we've been in this building. And I'm not talking numerically, you know, from the 18 of us that God used to start this church in the early days and in the beginning. But think of how we've grown spiritually, how we've grown in maturity, how we've grown in our relationship with God. And here's the thing, all of it was made possible by what Jesus Christ has done for us. In Titus chapter 3, it says this, "When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs of the hope of eternal life." All of the things that we could stop and remember this morning about the things God has done in us, the things we've experienced over the 10 years we've been in this building, all of it was made possible, every good thing, not because of a great sermon that was preached or a wonderful song that was sung or a creative service or something that just really spoke to us. It's all made possible because of the renewing, regenerate, transformational work of Jesus Christ poured out on us through His good news, through His gospel, in His Holy Spirit. He's the one that has saved us. And that is why Jesus asked us to remember His sacrifice of grace on our behalf. He said this in Luke chapter 22. It said, this is the night that Jesus died. It says, He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, why do this in remembrance of me? Because we have a capacity to forget. We have an amazing capacity to forget. We can sometimes forget that God is the one who's making me new, not me. Or we can begin to think, if we're not careful, that the great things that we've experienced as a church, the great things we've done as a church, the great things we're going to be a part of as a church, that it's because of us or this organization or no, it's because of Him. And we need to remember that. And likewise, after the cup, or after they had eaten, He took the cup and He said, "This cup is poured out for you. It's the new covenant in my blood." And so this morning we're going to remember. We remember the things that we've had the blessing of being a part of. We remember the good times, and we even remember some of the sad times. Some of us remember challenging, difficult times, and hopefully all of us remember some really great times. We want to remember what God's done in us, but we also want to remember the reason those things have happened is solely and only because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to remember that through communion this morning. And our ushers are going to come forward and they're going to pass the trays, and you're going to get this piece of bread and this cup of juice. And I'm going to ask you to hold it, and we're going to partake of this together after everyone's received. But as it's being passed in these next moments, as Reese just plays, would you just take a remember? Oh, as Josh plays. Whoever's playing. Would you do this? Would you just remember? Remember some of the things God has done in you. Maybe take a moment and remember the day that He saved you. Can you remember that day? Can you remember the day that the grace of God was first poured out on you? Can you remember maybe the first time that God worked through you to communicate His gospel to somebody else and they responded and received Jesus as their Savior? Can you remember a time when God lifted you up when you were so down? Can you remember a time when He encouraged you when you were so discouraged? Can you remember those moments? Just remember that as He plays and as you're holding these emblems in your hand that represent that He died for you and His blood was shed for you to make that possible. Just remember that. And remember that it's made possible through Jesus. And when everybody receives, we're going to partake of this together in one big act of worship, thanking Him for who He is and what He's done. Ushers, come forward. God, this morning we pause to remember. We remember where we were when You found us and saved us. We remember moments of renewal and refreshing where You have encouraged us. We remember times when we've seen You encourage and renew and refresh and restore others. And Lord, we remember that all of that was made possible because of Your Son, who made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the likeness of man, and He humbled Himself obedient to death on a cross, to the glory of God the Father, so that we could know You. So Lord, remind us of how empty we are without You, and remind us this morning of how full we are with You. And as we partake of this bread and as we drink of this cup, we worship You. We remember and we worship and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. We have all had those times of renewal and refreshing from God. And we remember the reason why is only because of the grace of Jesus poured out for us on His gift to us through going to the cross and offering us salvation and forgiveness, redemption. Because He's the one that renews, because He gave Himself for us. We want to recommit ourselves to that this morning. Acts chapter 1, there's a very interesting story at the beginning of the book of Acts. This is just after the resurrection of Jesus. And if you've been here any length of time, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've heard this story, but I just want to read it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "So when they had come together," speaking of all the disciples, "they asked Him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father's fixed by His own authority.'" In other words, He says, look, quit getting distracted by things that don't know. Even after the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples are still distracted by their own idea of what Jesus was here to accomplish. They're still, even after all they had witnessed, all they had seen, all they had heard, all they had experienced themselves, they're still missing the point of what Jesus came to do. Okay, now that the crucifixion's over, now that you died and you came back to life, man, that was great. Now will you restore the glory of the kingdom of Israel? Now will you kick Rome out? Now will you make our lives easier? I mean, now is this the moment that it's going to begin to benefit us? And Jesus just kind of goes, you know what? Don't, forget all of that. Quit getting distracted by the things that I did not necessarily come here to accomplish. He says, instead, here's what I want you to worry about. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on him as he was lifted up, a cloud came and took him out of their sight. They took them away. And when they left there and returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, about a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered the city of Jerusalem, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, and Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. That's a pretty good group of people, right? And here's what they do. And all of these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Do you catch what they were doing? They were devoting themselves. When you read on in the story in Acts chapter 2, they're devoting themselves not only to prayer, but to fellowship and breaking of bread, of giving of themselves and of their property to serve whoever had need. And not a day went by that God was not adding to their number someone who was being saved. It's an amazing story because it's a story of a group of people who met a Savior they didn't expect, were renewed and restored in ways they weren't anticipating. They witness things that you and I have read about and long to see firsthand. And as they remembered, they just committed and recommitted and recommitted themselves to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Now, remember what we learned last month together? This is some very basic things that Jesus has called us to. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to love. A new commandment I give you. You remember this one? That you would love one another. How? Just as I've loved you. The loving one another part was not the new part. The loving one another as he's loved us, that was the new part. Loving us compassionately, loving us truthfully, loving us patiently and sacrificially. And we saw last month also, what is our role in this whole thing? It's not to really win anybody to anything necessarily. Our role is very simply to invite people to come and see the claims of Jesus for themselves, to come and see. You know, we live in a city with more than 100,000 people within about 10 miles of the building we're moving to next week. That's a lot of people, and a large percentage of them live without the hope of the gospel of Christ in their lives. And I've said this several times. I just want to remind you and say this one more time. You know what? Next week's a really easy ask. You know, for those that are not Christians, for somebody that doesn't know Jesus, I don't think they're sitting at home waiting to come to a church service until we move into the new building. I don't think they're like, hey, I'm going to start going to church when they move. I don't think that's true. But I do believe it's a very easy ask for someone that you know that doesn't have the hope of Christ, for someone that you know that has not been renewed in the way that we've remembering God has renewed us. And invite them to come and see. And not to come and see a new building. And not inviting them to just come and see an organization, but that they would come and see Jesus. They would come and see the reason for the hope that we have. My prayer is that all of us would take a risk and invite someone that we know is not a believer to come next week. And just so that you know what we're going to start next Sunday, we're going to start a study through the book of Ecclesiastes next week. Yes, doesn't that sound like a great study to begin in a new building? One of the most depressing reads in your life. Everything's meaningless. Everything's meaningless, right? It's chasing the wind. I get up in the morning, I go to bed, nothing changes. So one day I'm going to die and leave all my money to my kids and they're going to blow it. That's what he says. How depressing. But here's why we're going to start it. You know why it's such a great read? Because Ecclesiastes, I'm going to say this again next week, but Ecclesiastes asks all the questions that the rest of the Bible answers. It poses the questions that the rest of the Bible answers. It poses questions that every one of us has. It poses questions that I guarantee you friends and family members and neighbors and coworkers that don't know Jesus, they're asking these questions, even if they don't want to admit they're asking these questions. Why does it? I had a conversation just the other day with one of the guys working on our new building, who was frustrated and aggravated and began to say, you know what? What's the point of all this? I work hard. I'm slaving. I'm killing myself. For what purpose? I'm thinking, well, that might be an open door to even share with him, buddy, you know what? We're not building this building for any other reason than a place that maybe you could come and hear and come and see. And I just had a chance to share the gospel. And he didn't fall down, and angels didn't start singing in that moment. And Scott, you know, I mean, he didn't, to my knowledge, he hasn't received Jesus yet. But every time I see him, I'm not only asking him to come, and I'm trying to be a friend. I'm trying to enter into the committed, recommitting ourselves to the reason that we're here, the reason we as a church exist. And my prayer is that we would recommit ourselves to that calling today. We'd recommit ourselves to love the way Jesus loved, that we would recommit ourselves to being his witnesses in Claremont, in Lake County, in Florida, in this country, to the ends of the earth, wherever we go, to invite everyone we can to come and see the claims of Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to end with a prayer of recommitment and dedication to that end. The purpose of it all is the glory of God, right? And we want to recommit ourselves to that aim. We want to dedicate this move, not just to a new location, but dedicate this move to a new chapter that we are reaffirming our commitment to make known the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only thing that truly renews. And we will do our part to make that known. So would you pray with me, and would you dedicate yourself to that end? Would you take a moment, just recommit to God your life, surrender to his purpose? Would you do that? Would you recommit your talents and your wisdom and your experiences to be used for his purpose? Would you recommit along with me your resources and your gifts and your abilities and all that you have and all God's entrusted with you to be used for his purposes? God, in this moment, we draw another figurative line in the sand and saying, this is why we're here. We recognize this is why we're here. We're here because of you. We're here for you. You have saved us through Jesus, and you've saved us for your glory. Only you can renew us and restore us. And we remember this morning the price that you've paid for that to be true in our lives. And so as a church today, we recommit ourselves newly to be about your kingdom, that we would love others the way you loved us, that we would serve others the way you've served us, that we would invite others to come and see the claims of your Son, Jesus Christ, for themselves. And that all that we say and all that we do and all that we sing would be for your glory. So Lord, this move that we begin physically today at 2:00, that culminates next Sunday when we gather for the first time as a church family for worship in a different physical location. We dedicate these last years, and we dedicate this moment forward and all the years to come to be about you and your glory and your kingdom and for your purpose and for your sake. God, give us opportunities this week to invite others to come and see Jesus. Give us boldness to talk about the ways that you've renewed us. Give us words of clarity beyond any we thought we had to steer and point others to you. And everything we say and everything we do, we recommit this morning that it will be done to the glory of God because of your Son, Jesus Christ. There is none other, no other name in heaven given among men by which we can be saved. There's no one but Jesus. We thank you for the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.